First and foremost, I want everybody to take a deep breath and relax, okay?
I feel like my eyes sticking to one side of my brain and shit. You know what I mean?
Go to bed, man.
Okay, my name is Taylor Dunn. Y'all keep it going.
You are now listening to the Mac Daddy Seminar, motherfucker.
What's cracking, pimps? What's going on? And welcome to episode 63 of the Mac Daddy Seminar. As always, I am your host, Taylor Dunn. And it's been a while. It's been a while since I actually sat down and recorded a podcast. I know I really haven't been consistent with these. I mean, that's putting it lightly. But, lot has happened over the past 2 months, and I just kind of wanted to explain some of that and give you guys an update. So my last two episodes have been with my mom that I did for Mother's Day, and about 6 weeks after that, I did one with a good friend of mine named Billy Adams. And during that time, me and my family have been enjoying being out of quarantine. We finally got through it. As most of you know, at least the people that listen, I took my family to Disney World, like in the middle of May. And I booked that trip back in February when it was pretty much illegal to do everything. We didn't even know for sure if we were going to be able to go. At least, me be able to go. But we just kind of, you know, had high hopes and planned. And believe it or not, literally right before we went on the vacation, like literally hours before we went to the airport, I found out that pretty much all restrictions had been lifted, at least in my line of work. So we were like, oh, this is fucking awesome. This is great. So we fly down to Orlando and we get there and we meet my in-laws there, because that was part of the thing I wanted to surprise my wife with, was letting her know, hey, your parents are going to come with us too. And we just had a blast. It was insanely fucking hot, but we didn't have to wear a mask except for in line on the rides. So it was really cool just to be able to walk around the park without a mask on. I feel like I'm talking about this like it happened like 3 years ago. But the whole vacation was fun. It did not rain a drop the entire time we were there. And we spent a gargantuan amount of money. I'm going to tell you now, for anybody who's thinking about going to Disney World or anything like that for your first time, please do your research, because it is not cheap. Disney World, Disneyland, it doesn't matter. It is not cheap by any stretch of the imagination. And you will go broke, but you will have a good time. I didn't go broke, but I spent more money than I anticipated on spending. But it was worth it. We had a great time. You know, it was nice to finally get out and live normally again. And then, you know, I could probably talk for 30 minutes about Disney World, but I feel like I kind of touched on it in one of my previous episodes. But we had a blast. You know, it was a really good time. We went to every park. We rode everything we wanted to ride, sometimes multiple times. And, my daughter loved it. That was really the incentive behind the entire trip, was I wanted to take her to Disney one more time before she started school this fall. And, you know, we had a really good time and we made some great memories. And after the Disney vacation, my in-laws drove us up to Alabama and we spent about 2 weeks there. And that was also a lot of fun. We saw a lot of our friends, went to a concert. I mean, it was like being in a different world. And, you know, just, God, our stomachs were so tore up the entire time. I know that's a pretty big shift from what I was just talking about, but one thing notable that happened while we were there was, like, me and Zaina both just, like, our stomachs were killing us, and we just realized it's because we're not used to the greasy southern food anymore. Just from living here in California, there's a lot more healthier options. And it's not like we're like vegan or like all about vegetables or some shit like that. But we, you know, just, I guess we, I don't know, but it was pretty bad for about the last week that I was there. I mean, it was like we were scared to eat anything. I don't know if we caught a fucking parasite or what, but we celebrated my wife's birthday. She turned 27, and I mean, just the whole time we had a really, really good trip. And in the beginning of June, I had to come back. The plan was that we were going to, I was going to leave after a 3 week vacation and come back because I got to go back to work. But my wife and my daughter were going to stay there. And I was kind of dreading it months out. Just because I really don't like being by myself. You know, I did it one time about a year ago when everything was shut down, like when you couldn't even go to the fucking beach. And it was insanely lonely. And, you know, I agreed to it under the preconceived notion that, you know, well, by the time that rolls around, everything will be opened. I'll be able to go do stand-up and keep myself entertained. So I agreed, and they were supposed to stay there for another month. Well, soon as I got here, it was just like I just missed them terribly. Just being in this quiet house after, you know, everybody gets that, like, post-vacation blues where, you know, oh, the vacation is over. You know, now it's time to get back to normal life again. But when you do it by yourself, it's pretty tough. And, I mean, I'll be honest, I got really depressed. And I miss them terribly. I had one of the worst bouts with depression I think I've had in a very long time. And luckily, I had, you know, a lot of positive friends that I could talk to and call and, you know, just talk to them about the things I was feeling and things like that. And they really helped me through it. So I won't, you know, go into too much detail about who they were, but they know who they are. And I really appreciate it. But I really miss my family, like, terrible. And they decided to come back. They came back a little bit early. They stayed there for about another 2 weeks. And during that 2 week period before they came home, I was just looking for anything to keep myself entertained. And I went to go do stand up for the first time in about 6 months. From last November when I did the show in Alabama. It was the first time doing stand-up in California since the beginning of the pandemic. And it was a lot of fun. It was a little little rough, you know, a little rusty. Haven't done it in a long time. But, you know, I felt pretty good about it. I was proud of myself for going. And, yeah, so kind of knocked some of the dust off, and because now everything's open here in California. That's another thing I wanted to touch on is I came back and, you know, all the restrictions have been lifted and, you know, you don't even have to wear a fucking mask anymore. I was like, oh, this is great. And, but I just missed my family, you know, I truly just missed my family like crazy. So they came back and, you know, we've been trying to have fun again, just in and out doing this and that because, you know, like I said, now everything's open, but we just went on this huge vacation, so we're trying to save a little bit of money and, you know, have some money put aside for the next vacation we want to take. Well, about a month before we left on our Mickey Mouse vacation, I bought tickets to go see my favorite comedian, Dave Chappelle, at the MGM Grand in Las Vegas. And that was a trip. You know, my family had been home for about a week and a half, 2 weeks, and this was just last weekend. And me and a buddy of mine, Fanning, I've had him on the podcast before, we drove his Tesla to Vegas, which is about 6 hours from San Diego. Awesome, awesome drive. I love being in the desert. I think it's awesome. And, but goddamn, it's so hot. Like, we live close to the water here in San Diego, so we can get kind of chilly. But you drive 30 minutes in any direction away from the water, and it just turns into the desert, and it is so hot. Well, we got to Vegas on Friday afternoon, and it's my first time ever going, so I was super excited. My wife was a little bit mad with me because she was like, well, you made us come back, and now you're just going to run to Vegas and have fun with your friend. And I'm like, look, I'm just going to be here for like 48 hours, and then I'm coming right back home. But, you know, she was cool and everything, and I've thought about doing a Vegas vacation, me and her, but just I wanted to kind of go and scope it out first, so I kind of had an idea of, like, what to look forward to and places to avoid and things like that. I don't like to go anywhere for the first time with somebody and, you know, not know what to expect. So me going in and kind of scoping the place out, it really made, you know, to where we could make easier decisions planning a future trip there. But anyway, I'm getting off subject. We got there on Friday night, and we went and walked around the Venetian, went and walked around Caesar's Palace. Absolutely gorgeous, beautiful hotels. And, you know, took a bunch of pictures and things like that. And we weren't actually staying on the Strip. My friend did not, and I'm not throwing him under the bus here, but he didn't book a hotel room. And then it was like just a few days before the trip, and he's like, well, we don't got anywhere to stay. And I'm like, okay, well, what are we going to do? And he's like, well, all the hotels on the Strip are like insanely expensive. And luckily, I found a military base like 15 minutes from the Strip, and we were able to get a hotel room on the base for like ridiculously cheap prices, which, you know, if you're in the military, that's one of the things you have the option of doing, is you can just stay on a military base wherever you're going for ridiculously cheap. So, still Friday night, we walk around the Venetian and Caesar's Palace, and then after hanging out there for a bit, we went to to Fremont Street, which is the old Vegas Strip, and where it's got the big big awning over the street, and they project all that crazy spaceship shit happening. It's really, really cool. I posted a lot of videos of it to my story and things like that. But we had a blast. We met up with a friend of ours that we were in battalion with, and you know, that was really cool getting to see him. And we saw this dinner special for a steak and lobster dinner for $11.99. The caveat to it was, oh, well, you gotta stay here until 9 p.m. and then you can get your name on the list. And we ended up not eating until like 10:15. And it really wasn't that great. I mean, it was about $11.99 worth of a steak and lobster. But, you know, I mean, for that, that was cheaper than McDonald's. So you really couldn't beat it. And I got a bowl of French onion soup there, and it was off the chain. I've become a really big fan of soups lately. I guess I'm just turning into my wife slowly every day, because she's always been about some soup. And now I'm getting to where I'll fuck a soup up. You know, it was really good. But goddamn, it was hot. Not the soup, just being in Vegas. Like, it was like 117 degrees during the day. Like, it was just heat that I'd never experienced before. You know, I mean, being from the South, I'm used to humidity. But that shit... It was like standing in an oven. That's the only thing I can compare it to. Like, you literally, if you have the oven on and you're like checking your cookies or your pizza or whatever, and you open the oven and that gust of hot air comes out of there, that's what it was like. And it fucking sucked. Like, I packed like 3 pairs of pants, you know, because I wanted to look fresh, you know, like, shit, I'm going to the strip and stuff, you know, I'm trying to look good. And goddamn, I didn't pull out any of that shit while I was there. Like, the shorts that I was wearing, I pretty much wore the entire trip, just because I was like, well, I'm not going to be sweating walking around. And I always overpack for everything, because, you know, I'd be thinking like, oh, I'm trying to put together a look, I'm trying to be fly. And then, you know, you get there and the weather is just like, nuh-uh, motherfucker, you're wearing shorts. So that's what I did. Even at night, it was like 107 degrees. And you're just like, how in the hell does anybody live here willingly? That's all I could think the entire time was like, as much as I would have liked for my wife to be there and go with me for my first time, I was like, she would be so uncomfortable right now. And I just kept telling her, like, hey, you do not want to be here. Like, just stand. If you walked out in the sun, it was like being under a fucking magnifying glass. It was unbearable. Like, we walked out of the Venetian, and we walked like maybe 50 feet, and I was like, fuck that. And we turned and went right back into the hotel, because just being out in the sun, it was like the sun was kicking our ass. So we eat this $11.99 steak. And, you know, we go back to the room and we go to bed. And the next day, Saturday, is when we were supposed to go to the Dave Chappelle show. So first thing we did, we wake up, get dressed, and we go to IHOP right outside the base. Your boy gets some chocolate chip pancakes, because, you know, I'm just a big-ass kid. And, I was like, well, what do you want to do? And he's like, I don't know. I'm like, well, we got to figure out something, because, I mean, we got a couple of hours before we have to go to the MGM Grand where the show was going to be. So he's like, let's go to the Stratosphere. Now, for those of you that don't know, the Stratosphere, if you've ever seen any pictures of Vegas or any videos or anything like that, it's that huge space needle in the middle of the strip. I wouldn't say the middle, it's more towards the outside, but you know what it is, like. And I'm pretty scared of heights. I'm not gonna lie. I just get real uncomfortable. I don't really mind flying in a plane, but it's like anything that I have to like go to the top of or anything like that. I don't know. It's something about the way the building was shaped. It just made me really uncomfortable. But I went, and then we get there, and we walk around. Beautiful casino, beautiful hotel. Felt like I was in Grand Theft Auto walking around in it. And we go up to the little kiosk where you get ticket. You had to pay money just to go up to the top of the Stratosphere. And they were like, well, there's a deal where, you know, military, you get to ride all the rides for free. And I was like, hold on, I'm not trying to ride any of the fucking rides. I'm scared to go up there. And he's like, oh, don't be a bitch. So I was like, fine, just give me the military ticket. I don't care. So just riding the elevator to the top of this thing was terrifying. Like, you just get in the elevator, and it's just shaking and wobbling around, and you're like, what the fuck? Like, I'm holding on to the bar in there, the oh shit handle inside the elevator, and you feel your ears popping, and you're just like, what the fuck? And, dude, you get up there, and it was just gorgeous. I mean, it was like a full-blown... They had a bar, they had a restaurant, they had a gift shop, they had all this shit at the top of it. It's this huge observation deck. And then you go up some steps and you can actually go outside. And, I mean, it was so fucking windy out there. And we took a bunch of pictures and, you know, all of that stuff. And then Fanning was like, all right, so which one of these rides are you getting on with me? And he decided to do the X-Scream coaster, which it's literally just like a single car roller coaster on like a track that's like 20 feet long. And it just teeter-totters off the edge of the building and hangs you over the street. Google it, YouTube search it if you want to know what it was like. But I was... shaking, just walking around outside the building. I cannot believe he convinced me to get on this fucking thing. That was the scariest ride I've ever been on in my life. Like, I literally almost shit my pants. I about bent the metal on the handlebars to my seat because I was so fucking scared. I kept my eyes pretty much closed for 90% of it. I opened them at one point right when we were off the edge of the track and just staring down at the strip, like 1,100 feet below us, was like, holy shit. Scared me to death. It goes back and forth, does this about 5-6 times. And I got off of it. And, you know, I was happy that I did it because it's like one of those things where it's like, if you don't do it, you're going to regret it. And I felt a lot more comfortable just being up there after doing that, you know, but I wasn't riding any of the other rides. I was like, nah, fuck that. So we hung out at the Stratosphere for a little while longer and rode the elevator back down, equally as scary as going up. And when we finally got to the ground, it was like, okay, cool. Well, there's a magic shop we went in, and this dude was showing us some tricks and some cool stuff. And I bought Lily a little kids, beginners magic trick kit to, as a present, getting home. And around that time is when it was time for us to go to the MGM Grand. So we go to the MGM Grand, park, and get out, and it's like 4:30 p.m. The doors open for the show at 6:30. So we walk around, we get one of those big fruity drinks from Fat Tuesday. It's like $22, that big crazy cup. And then we walk around and I think we just ate at the food court just to try and save a little bit of money. And at around 6, I was like, hey, so you know, like, we're going to go in here and they're going to lock our phones up. So the way Chappelle and like Chris Rock and all these like heavy hitters do their shows now is they don't want anybody being able to record them, because the material that they're going to be putting out, they're probably going to put in a special and they'll be able to sell it to Netflix for millions of dollars. So if I sit there with my phone and record the entire thing, the material becomes worthless. So we get there as soon as the doors open. 6:30, we're some of the first people in the arena. And sure enough, they lock our phones up. They put them in this bag. It's this company called Yonder. And they lock it up. You get to keep it with you. But if you want it unlocked, you have to go out of the stadium. So we get in there. And, you know, we walk around. I buy a hoodie. You know, it's pretty cool. It's like a tan color. It says Chappelle. And I'm thinking about making like a little shadow box thing out of it. Kind of like how you would do like a baseball jersey. And I want to put the ticket and stuff in there. But I don't know. I'm still kind of undecided. But on top of that, you know, they got beer. They got food. They got anything you could really ask for. And, you know, after we walked around for a little bit, we got to our seats. And it's like 6:45. The show doesn't start until 8:00. So we're just sitting there. We got no phones. Fanning has fallen asleep. And we're just sitting there just staring off into space. And finally, like an hour and a half later, they're, you know, starting the show. And first thing that happens is Dave Chappelle's DJ, DJ Trauma, comes out. And he starts playing music and, you know, getting everybody involved, people singing along, stuff like that. I mean, the place is like maybe at 45% capacity at this point. I'm like, damn, like there's a lot of empty seats in here. Well, hold your horses, because they did fill up. So finally, when the show is ready to start, first person to come out is Donnell Rollins. Now, I took my wife, like, November 2019, we went and saw Donnell Rollins do an hour at the La Jolla Comedy Store. Hilarious comedian. And I even got to meet him. And he came out and did about 15 minutes. Absolutely murdered. You know, I mean, just had everybody dying laughing. And then after him, Jeff Ross, the Roastmaster General from all the Comedy Central roasts and stuff like that, he came out and did about 15 minutes. And I've seen him before as well. He was on, he was an opener for Chris Rock when I went to go see him in New Orleans. They both did great. Absolutely hilarious. Crowd loved it. Well, right after them, Questlove and The Roots came out and played for about 30 minutes. And I've never seen Questlove and The Roots or anybody like that before, and it was actually pretty good. I really enjoyed it. My favorite part of it was just out of nowhere, you just hear everybody start screaming, like the whole crowd just went crazy. And Dave had snuck his way to the stage and came out just unexpectedly, like 30, 45 minutes before he was supposed to. And he sang Creep by Radiohead to the crowd. And now, if you follow him like I do, you know he does this from time to time where, you know, he'll sing that song. He loves singing that song. And it was just awesome to get the, you know, it was kind of unexpected. Because it was just like all of a sudden, it's like, whoa, shit, there he is, you know. And he comes out and he sings this song. The crowd just eats it up. They love it. And he's like, all right, I got to go backstage for a little bit. And he goes back. And then they keep playing for about another 15, 20 minutes. And then they clear all the instruments and stuff off the stage. And then there's like a 15-minute intermission so everybody can go to the bathroom and stuff like that. Well, then, after the 15-minute intermission, Donnell Rollins comes out and does like 20 minutes. absolutely murders again. Whole new set of jokes. And then finally, after Donnell Rollins goes, it's probably like 10, 10:15, 10:30 at this point. Dave Chappelle finally comes out to do his shit. You know, and I mean, it was like a fighter coming to the ring. Like, he had all of his entourage and stuff there. They had the smoke going, all the lights flying around. And then he finally gets up there and he just gets right into it. Just boom. And God, he put on a fucking clinic. I mean, I'm pretty biased because, you know, I think he's the greatest of all time, and I really fangirl hard over Dave Chappelle, but to watch him do it in person, I mean, I talked about it on my Instagram. I mean, it was like watching a fucking wizard fight a dragon. Just watching him do it in person was like, holy shit. He's just so meticulous and just so well thought out with his jokes. It's just like, good Lord, this is good. And I mean, it was fantastic. For a minute, I thought he might have been shooting a special because they had all these cameras. But after really thinking about it after the fact, I don't think that was material that he would feel comfortable releasing as a special. I just think the cameras were there so that they could display like him up close on the Jumbotron above the stage. Because, you know, this was in the MGM Grand. It's 14,000 people. You know, if they didn't have the Jumbotron, you'd be watching somebody the size of a thumbnail on the stage. So they use the cameras to show you, like, up close with their facial expressions and things like that. But probably the craziest thing that happened was about 40 minutes into his set, he's starting to kind of wind it down and get kind of to his closer. All of a sudden, he's in the middle of this joke and it's real quiet and you just hear, "Fuck you, Dave Chappelle." And the whole audience hears it and he's like, "Whoa, whoa, 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 whoa." So he stops and he walks over to the edge of the stage where the sound came from and he's like, "Look, I don't know what this is about, but fuck you too." And the crowd just went crazy. And you just hear the guy going, "Yeah, fuck, I wasted my money on this shit." And he's like, "Oh, you mean this money?" And he reaches in his pocket, pulls out a wad of cash and like shakes it at him. He's like, "Yeah, I got your money." He's like, what are you mad about, man?" And he's like, "I wasted my money on this shit. You can take my money home and wipe your ass with it." And he's like, "So you want me to take your money home and wipe my ass with it?" He's like, "I've been insulted on stage before, but sir, that's a whole different ball game." So the crowd's really getting into it and laughing at this point, but the guy's just livid, and they start showing him on the Jumbotron. He's this fat white guy, and he just looks drunk and pissed off, and he's flicking off the crowd and everything. Everybody's starting to boo him, and they're doing it back and forth between him and Dave. And, you know, at this point, security is starting to head over there. His family is ridiculously fucking embarrassed. And they start to escort him out. And Dave is like, "Look, he don't have to leave unless he wants to." And he's all, "Fuck you. You know, you're a piece of shit." And Dave's like, "Well, all right, take that motherfucker out of here, man." And I guess the guy started to act like he was going to come down the steps, like towards the stage. And Dave just went, "Hey, I'm going to tell you this. If you come anywhere near this stage, I got the goons here with me tonight, and you will get fucked up." And the crowd just went crazy. And so police escorted him out. And Dave talked about it for like a minute or two afterwards. He was like, "Waste of money. You'll never forget this moment for as long as you live." You know? And he was like, "That guy's never been famous in his life, and he just found out what it was like to get booed by 14,000 people at the same time." And they kicked him out. And the reason that was so special to me is to watch one of your heroes, you know, one of the greats, go back and forth with a heckler. You know, because that's one of the big fears for anybody that wants to really get into stand-up or anything like that is like, oh, well, occasionally you have to deal with a heckler, and you want to kind of shut them down. You don't want them to be like, oh, the heckler won. And I've been in that scenario just a handful of times, but still, to watch him do it and have to deal with a heckler after, you know, just years and years and years of mastering the craft of stand-up, it was, you know, it was pretty cool. So he finishes, throws the mic down, everybody stands up and cheers and applauds and stuff like that. And he walks off stage, and then the show is over. And then we get stuck trying to get out of the arena because they have to unlock everybody's phones. So it takes us like an hour just to get out of the MGM Grand. Get our phones unlocked, finally look at what time it is. It's 12:30. And they're like, holy shit, we were in there for 6 hours without our phones. So we both call our wives, let them know, like, hey, the show's over. It was great. We're about to head back to the room. And that's what we did. We drove right down Koval and East Flamingo Street, which, for those of you that don't know, that's the intersection where Tupac was fatally shot. That was pretty neat to see, I guess. I'm a huge Tupac fan, so we thought about going over there, but we just didn't have time. But we drove right from there. And if you're, you know, you keep up with the whole Tupac killing, or you're a fan of Tupac, you know that he went to a boxing match. He went and saw Mike Tyson at the MGM Grand. And left the MGM Grand and drove down that road and got shot. So the whole time I'm thinking, like, damn, like, I'm sitting right where Tupac was sitting when he got shot. I had a similar evening to Tupac when he got shot. Anyway, we went back to the hotel, slept for about 4 hours, and then we got in the car and we drove back. And yeah, that's pretty much been what's happened over the past 2 months. It's just been weird, you know, like now that everything is open, everybody is really calmed down. Everybody is, really just kind of back to normal. It's real strange. And I didn't think it would be, for me at least, it would be so weird kind of getting back to normal and getting back into the swing of things. But it has been. And, you know, I'm just trying to stay positive and just, you know, kind of get out of this funk that I've been in for a while now. Just, I think what it really boils down to is, like, we spent the last year just so depressed and just so deprived of any type of fun that we just equated these trips to Alabama or wherever as, like, well, that's the only thing we have to look forward to. And it's just weird kind of shifting from that. So, you know, I'm hopeful. I've been writing. You know, I'm planning on doing more stand-up. And I actually mean it this time. Like, I want to get back into it and do it. And, you know, I just got my hopes up for the future. And I'm going to keep doing this podcast on a regular basis. Sorry, I got cut off at the end there. Somebody was calling me. I recorded this whole episode on my phone, by the way. So, yeah, the video podcast will come back in time. And, you know, like I said, I'm keeping my head up. I'm getting back in the ring. I'm doing my thing again. And just be on the lookout because good things are on the way. And like I always say, you know, I appreciate so much those of you who support me and reach out to me just to check on how I'm doing. It's not just, oh, I love the stand-up, man. They really reach out and make me feel like, you know, I got a lot of friends out there. And I really appreciate it. So, with that being said, I appreciate you guys listening, and I will see you guys next week. Y'all take care.